Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your constant presence. May we see you in all things and express your love in this world. Amen. Please be seated. Many of you know that my mother died recently, and many of you knew her very well. And she had what a lot of people refer to as a good death. Now, if you've never heard that term, what I mean by that is that she lived a long life, mostly healthy her whole life. She was 90. She was able to spend the last few days of her life in peace, without pain, surrounded by good medical care in her own bed, in her own home, with her family all around her. We were there with her when she took her last breath, and she taught us to that last minute the power of the ministry of radical hospitality of presence. Hospitality of presence. Just how to be with someone. Because in those last days, we didn't have a lot to talk about. We just enjoyed being next to her and praying together as a family, and it was beautiful. In going through some of her belongings, she continued to teach us, because in the front of one of the photo albums, she had dedicated a whole front page to just one little quotation that she had cut out of the newspaper, and it was a quote by Doug Larson. And it says, "Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you'd have preferred to talk." I'm going to say that again. Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you'd have preferred to talk. And she did that very well. I'm still trying to learn it. And I have really been trying, because for my whole life, I've loved to talk. I used to get in trouble, especially here at this school. I got in trouble as a child for talking too much, missing recess and talking in class. And so in the last few decades, I've begun to work on it, and especially when I was a chaplain in the school here, several of us, including Sherry Thomas, who's up in the loft, a couple of other teachers, took a training called Emotional Intelligence Training. And we brought back those lessons for the teacher and faculty and incorporated them into our lesson plans. And it is teaching us the intelligent use of our emotions, how to be aware of them and not let our emotions control us, but that we intelligently use our emotions to guide our way. Well, one of the exercises that we learned in our training was that we were given the task of coming up with a noble goal for our life. And the noble goal was defined as being something that you probably would never attain, but that you would work on for a long, long time, kind of like a mission statement for your life. So they prepared us, and they gave us different exercises, and they took us through some guided meditations and silent meditations, and then they sent us off onto this campus where we were doing our training for us to be able to do some writing and come up with our noble goal. Well, mine turned out to be, and continues to be, to listen and respond with love. To listen and respond with love. The second part of the exercise was that we were paired with someone, and we were to share what our noble goal was with them, and then they were to observe us over the next couple days to see how we did, interacting with everybody and in our groups and whatever. So 3 days pass, I meet with my partner, who was this wonderful young man, and he said, "Well, you know, Wendy, you really listened well the last 3 days. I was watching, and I thought I really had." He said, "But you were so focused on your own goal of listening that you forgot to respond with love. You were so focused on your own goal and what you were doing that you forgot about the other people around you needing you to respond in love." It was a lesson that I really needed to hear, and that continues to guide me, to continues to nurture my relationships with other people as I strive for that. We are to learn to be able to do this balance of listening and expressing our love for other people, to give and to receive. And it can be tricky, that balance. It can be real tricky. So in today's gospel, that's exactly what's going on. Jesus, for the last 4 weeks, has been on this road trip with us and his disciples. It started 4 Sundays ago, if you remember. He set his face to Jerusalem. He was on his way from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem in the south. And that's about, from here to Miami, it's about how far it was. So they were walking, and they took their time along the way. And it was this long road trip. And we're going to be with him, by the way, on this trip until the end of November when we start Advent. So just know that. And in the Gospel of Luke, which is what's going to take us on this road trip all that time, Jesus is talking with his fellow travelers and disciples and teaching them these great lessons and parables, just like last week, the Good Samaritan. And he would send them out, and they would come back and report. Well, today, the story comes when he's gotten closer to Jerusalem. You know, he knows what's going to be happening. And so he's intent on really teaching people. And they're intent on learning from him, mostly, mostly. Today's story takes place about a mile and a half outside of Jerusalem in Bethany. And it's at the home of his good friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So he's there. It was a place where he had a haven. One of the commentators described this place for him really well. And he says it was a haven for Jesus in the midst of the brutal stress of days to come. It was a place where he could relax. Now, in first century Palestine, just like in ancient times, and just like today in a lot of places, if a revered guest came to your home, the women and the household help dropped everything they were doing and prepared the meal. We heard that in the ancient story from Genesis this morning as well, right? Abraham was greeted at the doorway to the tent, and what does he do? Sarah, make the bread. Quick, get the dinner ready. Servants, prepare the fatted calf. Everybody dropped what they were doing. That was the accepted norm then, and it was the accepted norm in first century Palestine. So Martha was doing what she was supposed to be doing in that day and time, except that she was so focused on her own goal that she forgot to respond with love to the other people in her environment. This isn't about her not supposed to be preparing and serving the food. Somebody had to bake the bread. Somebody had to chop the vegetables and cook the pasta. I mean, it wasn't about that at all. Jesus was talking to her because she was fretful, troubled by many things, and bustling around. And she's saying, Jesus, don't you see? You're our good friend here. Don't you see what Mary's doing? She should be helping me. Tell her to help me. So she was trying to take responsibility for everybody else. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, come on. Mary is doing the better thing. Mary has chosen to listen, to be here with me. He was inviting Martha into respite, inviting Martha into renewal, inviting Martha to listen to the word of God that was at hand and wouldn't be there in the form of Jesus Christ much longer. Not much longer. He's telling us to begin to notice, because the gospel's dynamic for us forever. It's our noble goal, if you will, filled with noble goals for our lifetime. And there's a little book that I ran across that I can highly recommend. It's just this tiny little book. It's called Strength for the Journey, A Guide to Spiritual Practice by Renee Miller. And in it, she's got chapter after chapter of just 2 or 3 pages. So it's a real easy read. You can pick it up and just read one chapter. You can read the whole thing. And she talks about all the different ways that we can find God and observe God in action in our world through spiritual practices. And some of them are what you would imagine. Centering prayer, prayer beads, Lectio Divina, if you've heard of that, meditation. But then she goes on. to describe how to train ourselves to see God in society, to look for God's messages in film, in dance, in art, in music, in our own movement, in exercise, in walking, in nature, so that we begin to notice Christ in everything and in it working in and through everyone, and some are open to it and some aren't. But Carl Jung said, bidden or not bidden, God is present. Asked or not asked, God is there. Nothing we can do about that, thank goodness. We're the ones that turn away. And so in the very beginning of this book, though, one of the things that's wonderful is that it's going to be different for each of us. And so she advises in the very front, engage in practices that enliven you, not the ones you think you should do. Pray as you can, not as you can't. It's about nurturing relationship. It's about nurturing relationship and spiritual development. And that's exactly what the noble goal is for this parish. If you look on the front of your leaflet right now, you'll see. Our mission statement is to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family and nurture their spiritual development. That's our noble goal for this place. Now, we may never attain that, to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family. I'm enough of a cockeyed optimist to hope we will, but that's our goal, and to nurture our spiritual development as we go along, to pray as you can, not as you can't. It's a really wonderful book. In the very end, and a little bit later in the book, she has a chapter called Hospitality, which speaks exactly to what the gospel is today. And Henry Nouwen is one who quoted the term hospitality of the heart, listening from the heart. And he says that it has nothing to do with inviting people over for dinner necessarily. He says, indeed, we can invite the poor into our homes for a meal 3 nights a week. But if our hearts are not open, we have not offered hospitality. And she says, the way that you know about this hospitality that he calls the hospitality of the heart is to back into it, to try to remember a time when somebody was there for you, when somebody took the time to speak with you or to have a cup of tea, have a cup of coffee, maybe had you over for dinner, maybe that was how it happened, and just took the time. She said it could be something as so easy as an airline flight attendant offering you an extra bag of peanuts because they knew that you needed it. It can be in simplicity that we open our hearts in our intention to one another. In closing, I'd like to tell you a modern-day parable. There was a young boy who lived near a park, and he could go over to the park on his own. He was old enough to do that. And so one day he was going to go to the park, except that he told his mom that he was going to find God that day. He was going to find God. And he knew it might take a while. So he took this big bag of potato chips with little bags of potato chips inside of it and put it in his backpack. And he took a couple of root beers in cooler cups so they'd stay cold at least for a while, put those in his backpack, and he took off to the park. Well, he noticed this lady sitting in the park like he did from time to time, feeding the pigeons, and she seemed like a really nice lady, and he was tired, and he decided he wanted a root beer, so he sat down next to her, and she just continued to feed the pigeons, and he took out his root beer, and he started to drink it, and he looked over, and he noticed that she looked really sad, and not only sad, but that she looked hungry. Because he also had taken out a bag of potato chips and put it in his lap, and she started to notice the potato chips. He caught her looking at them, and so he thought, well, maybe I'll give her some chips. So he hands her this bag of potato chips, and he said that the smile on her face was just brilliant. And so a little time went by, and he thought, I want to see that smile again. So he took the root beer out of his backpack, and he offered her a root beer, and she took it. And they sat there together, No words. He didn't speak, and she didn't speak. They sat there feeding the pigeons for quite a long time. So came time to leave. The little boy goes back home, walks in the door, and he was so excited. He just felt so good. And his mom said, "What got into you? What did you do today?" And he said, "Oh, well, I had lunch with God today." But before the mom could respond, he said, "You know, she's got this great big smile. I didn't expect that." The older lady went home, lived with her son, got in the front door, and she too was peaceful and joyful. And the son says, what happened to you today in the park? You don't usually come home looking like this. What happened?" And she said, "Oh, well, I had chips with God today. And you know what? He's a lot younger than I expected." We take for granted the ministry of presence. The ministry of just being with one another and not feeling like we have to always be talking. I think that could be what Paul was talking about in Colossians when he said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Amen.